First Chronicles this morning, chapter number 15. First Chronicles chapter 15. The time is 11:25. Say, why do you say that? Do you know that it's been proven that you can only hold an audience attention between 18 and 20 minutes? So I got to get this done by a quarter till, or we've lost you. And some, I'm not sure how they figured it out, but they said that our actual attention span is now at 8 seconds. And that's down from year 2000 when it was 12 seconds. We have been recently putting something out on Facebook. We should pray for that. I've been doing a little invite on that. Any of you folks ever seen those? We're paying for it. You ought to be seeing them. Nobody's ever seen them? Huh? Somebody, I see one hand. Okay. They just go out to the general public. We have a radius. It'll reach 1,000, 2,000 people if they look at it. But here's the thing. It's got to capture their attention for at least a couple of seconds. And that can be tricky. Why is that? Because listen, you go from one side to the other so quick. That's because your attention span's just not there. And I can't change that, so I have to deal with it and work with it. And so already I've lost 2/3 of the people, so we're doing very good this morning. Now, there's one way that you can bring back attention span, and that is you change everything and maybe have a joke, maybe you stop and just do nothing. So we're going to do nothing for the next 20 minutes, and then we can preach for 20 minutes and be there. Lord, forgive me. I've got to shut up and go to the Word of God. If you would, please. 1 Chronicles chapter number 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. I'm going to look at a few verses to understand the context of what I believe God wants us to understand this morning. If you start in verse number 1, it says, "And David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God, and pitched for it a tent. And David said, None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God, and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord into his place, which he had prepared for it." Now we'll stop there for a moment. And let's understand, he wanted to bring the ark there on a previous occasion, but you know the story, they put it on a cart, and Uzzah reached out his hand because he saw it jiggle a little bit and was afraid it would fall over, and God killed him. David was very upset by that, but there was a reason that all took place. And so David has found out the reason for that. In verse number 2, when he says, "None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites." So they wanted to bring this to the city of Jerusalem. You know what's interesting is that God showed to David the exact place they were to build the temple. And it's interesting how that took place. David had sinned against God in numbering the people, which God didn't want him to do. And he was warned about it, but he went ahead and had the people numbered. There was a census taken. And afterwards, we find that he is given three choices of basically punishment. And the one he chose was, he says, "Let me fall into the hands of God." And so God brought a pestilence upon the people. And there was a death angel, and that death angel stopped at the threshing floor of Araunah. The threshing floor of Araunah. It was a large rock, and it was an area where they would go up on top of this hill, and as they would beat at the wheat or whatever, the chaff then would blow away in the wind. And it was in that spot, upon that rock, that the angel had stopped, and David recognized that, and he says, "This is the place of God." And so he realized they needed to bring the ark to Jerusalem, build a temple. Now let's go down and let's look here in verse number 12 for a moment. And said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because he did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. We have the privilege to be here this morning. I pray that you would help us to gain and understand, and that we might be able to practice the marvelous word of God. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I remember many, many years ago, Avenue A went both directions. And then they decided, back maybe it was in the 50s or 60s, they decided to make Avenue A go one way. That was toward Omaha. And then they made Second Avenue go the other direction. And so they were both one-way streets now. I remember way back then that there were so many people who would turn onto the street and begin to go the wrong direction because they'd simply been used to that. Now, of course, recently we went back to the old way, and I don't know about you, but it seems very strange to me to go east on Avenue A. I almost feel like I'm breaking the law. But we do learn something from that, and that is, there is really only one way for us when it comes to God. Only one way. Far too many people believe that there are many avenues to God, when in fact there is but one way. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, how? But by me. That's it. Now you say, well, that might be kind of narrow. But listen, it's all-inclusive. Listen to what it says in Revelation 22. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And basically what he's saying is, hey, the way might be narrow, but everybody can travel that way. Now, David found out the hard way that his approach to God, though commendable, was not God's prescribed way. And God had given him specific instructions for the placing and the approaching of the Ark of the Covenant. And it was to be handled and be the responsibility of the Levites. That was their job, nobody else's. But David, like so many, just sought to do it his way. And it cost Uzzah his life. And we understand today, doing things our own way can cost us our life or somebody else's life. It may not be popular, but the Baptist pastor who said that Mormonism was a cult and not the avenue to heaven was right. It isn't through Joseph Smith. Do we understand that this morning? We don't go to heaven because of him. We don't go to heaven because of Mary, the mother of Jesus. We don't go to heaven because of Muhammad. We don't go to heaven because of Buddha. By the way, getting to God is not even through Gene Springer. It isn't being a Baptist, it isn't being a Methodist, it isn't being a Presbyterian, a Unitarian, a Catholic, or anything else, but by being in Christ Jesus. You and I would agree with that, I believe, this morning. Ephesians 2 verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. How do we get near to Christ? Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the only way. There's only one way to approach God. Let's think about it. Number one, there's only one way to approach God. I'm not talking about salvation right here, but there's only one way to approach Him. By the way, sincerity is not enough. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere about it? Do you realize you can sincerely go to hell? And sincerity is not enough. Listen to what it says in Joshua chapter 24. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity. But let's listen to this. and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord God. Listen, it's not just sincerity, it is doing so in the truth of God's word. There's only one way to approach him. You say, well, I will be a good boy, I will do exactly all of these things, but our works fall far short of what will help us to approach to God. Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6 says, but ye are all as an unclean thing. Well, we like to hear that, don't we? Oh, thank you, preacher. I just wanted to come to church, find out I was unclean. I just wanted to come and find out I was no good. Well, God says we're all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You see, we don't get to the Lord because of what we do. Adam tried that. It did not work. He was a do-it-yourself religionist as he partook of the apple. Cain tried to follow suit, but it didn't change his murderous heart. Saul wanted to make a show of it after the Amalekite War. And on we could go. When we seek to approach one who is greater by a different than a prescribed way that he tells us is pompous contempt. When you and I say, I can go to God the way I want to, I can reach out to him in my own way, that is nothing short of being pompous and contemptuous toward the Lord God. Do we understand that? It's not our way, it's his. The reason for great revival under the King Josiah was that he understood this very concept. In 2 Chronicles chapter 35, he says, and prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon, his son. He says, prepare ye. Go in the direction that God has already prescribed. He understood that approach God, it must be God's way. And let's understand this. The only true way to approach God in any age is humility. The other is being, as I mentioned, pompous. And it's humility. It's understanding he is the greater one, and we approach him the way he wants to be approached. Amen? No other way. Likewise, there's only one way to get saved. Only one way to get saved. There's no two ways. You don't do it through religion. You don't do it through works, as we've mentioned. You don't get saved by your own doing. You don't get saved by reaching out to some God. The only way to get saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Did you hear that? None other name. He is the only way. You're here today, and if you've heard the gospel very long, you've been saved very long, you'll know exactly that is the truth. You've seen it over and over. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. When we look at that verse, we understand something, and that is, that which is the action is whether we believe on him or we don't believe on him. Those who believe have everlasting life. Those who don't have it. There's only one way to get saved. It's to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now let's stop there for a moment. He says a mediator. That is, what that is showing is we are at odds with God. He's on one side, we're on the other side. And there is no way that we're going to be able to come together with a righteous God and unholy men. We need somebody to mediate that whole process. It's like a union against the management. There have to sometimes, because they're so far apart from each other, have a mediator assigned to them to help them to come together on things. And so he's talking about there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And this is what he did, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. 1 John 5:11 says, "And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." There's only one way to approach God, and I would use the word humility. There's only one way to get saved. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me take you one step farther. There's only one way to serve God. In the book of Romans chapter 12, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." He says, this is what I expect of you. This is the way you're going to serve me, and that is you present your bodies. It's not your thoughts. It's not just a portion of you. Listen, I have found out something. Wherever my body goes, my soul and spirit is there too. Have you noticed that? Somebody says, "Well, I was in church in my spirit." No, you weren't. Your body's got to be there. And there's only one way to serve God, and that's to present that body as a living sacrifice. A sacrifice is giving up something. And it's giving up of our body for Him to use. And notice something here, which is your reasonable service. Half-hearted service, which all too many times we're involved with, is not reasonable service. God doesn't want a portion of you. God wants all of you. If we're going to serve Him, there's only one way to do it, and that is giving ourselves entirely to Him. Service which has no priority over all else is not reasonable service. It's got to be that which is first in our life. Service to God is this. Ecclesiastes 9:10, he says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do," by the way, that's a part of your body, right? Your hand's not going to do anything if your body's not there. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." In Colossians 3, verse number 23, I believe a paraphrase, or I shouldn't say a paraphrase, but that which is going back, not quoting, but saying the same truth. He says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." Service to God is given to Him, given our all to Him. Not part way, totally and completely. That's the only way to serve God. Sometimes we think, "Well, I'll give Him a day here, a day there, I'll give Him this little bit or that little bit." No, God is not interested in unreasonable service. He's interested in reasonable service, which is what? Our body's a living sacrifice. And when we look at that, it says, "Wholly acceptable unto God." We're not going to give God something that's junk. We're going to give Him something that's holy, something that's been set aside just for Him. That which is acceptable because we've allowed Him to clean up our life. That's what God wants from us. So there's only one way to approach God. It's being humble enough to listen to Him to do whatever it is He wants us to do. There's only one way to get saved. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to serve God. And that is wholeheartedly. That's our reasonable service. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you so much for these moments, this time together. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the example of David. Thank you, Lord, that he saw his error and realized that there's only one way to serve you and to bring that ark. And Lord, that we might understand that there's only one way to serve you, one way to honor you, one way to accept you. And we thank you that you've revealed that to us. Lord, it sounds like a very narrow way, but you have said, whosoever will. And so, Lord, I pray that each of us here today might recognize not only can we be a whosoever will and get saved, but we can be a whosoever will and approach God. We can be a whosoever will and serve you with our whole heart. I pray that you work in hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen.